Holy Spirit of God, take our minds and think through them. Take these words and speak through them. And set our hearts on fire for love of thee. Amen. Please be seated. Most families have special seasons, special times of the year that are significant to them. These seasons are threads that are woven in the very fabric of their lives, of their family. Sometimes they can be the usual seasons, like Thanksgiving or Christmas, whose memories are embedded and recollected year after year just by taking out a particular plate or an ornament or pulling out an old family recipe. Or perhaps a particular life event transformed a holiday or a season into a time that is of particular significance for that family. Maybe it was after a long time of unemployment and the gift of a new job in mid-November that makes one family particularly thankful at each Thanksgiving celebration, having made it through the hard times and able to experience gratitude anew as that holiday comes around again and again every year. For those who served our country in the military, Memorial Day or Veterans Day can be particularly important for their family, as grief and gratitude intertwine for those who lost their lives or gave up their youth in service to our country. For the Karen refugees from Burma I worshiped with in Smyrna, Tennessee, these families not only celebrated the Karen New Year in January, but relished the 4th of July like only new citizens who have suffered so much seem to be able to do. For the Cox family, while we love Thanksgiving, Christmas, and Easter, and all the holidays, the particular season that cut a large swath across the fabric of our lives was hurricane season. My parents had just bought their first house in Texas City when Hurricane Carla hit in September of 1961. My 26-year-old dad put my mom, my older sister, and me in their one car and sent us to safety with family in Dallas while he was in charge of the Red Cross shelter at Texas City High School. 4 feet of mud and water from Galveston Bay entered our home during that storm. My family had to start our lives over from scratch. It was a rare hurricane season when our family did not revisit those experiences and its aftermath, adding new storms and new experiences over the many, many seasons. They all became part of our family lore. As my sisters and I got older, my dad would reveal a little more each hurricane season of some of his experiences at the shelter during Hurricane Carla. He always said he saw the best and the worst of humanity in those 72 hours. One older gentleman had forgotten to bring his heart medicine with him to the shelter, so Dad had to get on the shortwave radio and seek help. Later that day, in the height of the storm, Dad peered out of the second-story window through the blinding rain and saw two men struggling against the high winds and waist-high water down 6th Street, which was Texas City's main street. Dad said they were carrying something over their heads that looked to him like a cross. Ends up it was just a board to which the owner of Mainland Pharmacy and a friend had strapped the urgently needed medicine wrapped in plastic, thinking that they would hold it between them over their heads so that if one of them slipped and fell into the water, the other could keep the medicine aloft and dry. But my dad saw a cross being marched up 6th Street, swaying with the wind and over the water. How many times throughout the four Gospels did Jesus tell the disciples to take up your cross and follow me? This time it comes after Peter has ricocheted from being the hero last week, whom Jesus named the rock, the one now labeled a stumbling block in today's gospel. Can we blame Peter for being human? For when confronted with the message of suffering and death, he is unable to go there, unable to accept that message as part of being a disciple. Peter rebukes Jesus when he hears of what's ahead, motivated by fear and self-interest or self-protection. So Jesus, again, spells out the consequences of following him. Take up your cross. Those who want to save their life will lose it. Those who were following Jesus realized they could no longer idealize the life that is ahead for them. There will be no life of ease, free of hardship or suffering. But in telling the disciples of the cost of following him, Jesus turns the notion of suffering on its head. Suffering is no longer victimization or resentment for how the powerful stick it to us, the powerless. No, for followers of Jesus, suffering is a conscious decision, an active choice of life. Followers of Jesus understand that to follow Jesus, we put ourselves aside as we take up our cross and accept what is to come as part of the cross. Suffering becomes a choice, living fully into our humanity and not living out of our self-interest as we choose to take up our cross and follow Jesus and face whatever lies ahead. This is not masochistic, but it is an alternative way of living. Living a life not oriented toward our own egos or our own needs, but living a life of being bound to one another and our neighbors as we follow Jesus. In taking up our cross, we accept the pain and suffering of being human, just as God through Jesus did. And just like Jesus, when we take up our cross, we are willing to accept the cost that goes with it on behalf of others. Franciscan Richard Rohr spells it out quite succinctly. Following Jesus is a vocation to share the fate of God for the life of the world. Let me repeat that. Following Jesus is a vocation to share the fate of God for the life of the world. As such, the cross becomes an image, a symbol of how God uses us to transform the world around us. Too many people over this last week had a heavy cross foisted upon them and no choice given at all. Lives have been permanently altered along the Texas Gulf Coast and Louisiana. Many will continue to struggle for some time to come. But we also observe many, many others who willingly entered into this suffering, sometimes even despite losses of their own. I don't know how many of those volunteer rescuers whose brave and selfless actions we observe this week, I don't know how many of them were professed Christians, but I do know that they lived out half of Jesus' great commandment to love our neighbors as ourselves. And in so doing, a cross was picked up and lives were saved. We saw black helping white, English speakers helping Spanish speakers, even Urdu speakers, those with little helping those new to having nothing. We watched as this played out in all socioeconomic ranges of Houston zip codes and small Gulf Coast towns. It's been hard to sit back and watch this unfold over the last week, hasn't it? It's always hard when we confront tragedies of both large and small scale, whether it be a natural disaster like Hurricane Harvey, or news of a terminal diagnosis. We often ask ourselves during tragedies of all sorts why this had to happen. How could God let it happen? But it does. It does happen. And through these tragedies, God can use us to bring about transformation, bring about love, bring about community among the human race. We will have our turn to help our brothers and sisters along the Gulf Coast recover from Harvey. We will. But until then, let us take up our cross, willingly lose ourselves, and bring God's healing love to those we encounter each and every day.